Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Boeing's CEO is headed out. Its biggest union wants in. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The CEO of Boeing will step down at the end of this year, the company announced this morning. It's part of a broader management shakeup as the plane maker grapples with multiple federal investigations after a door plug blew off a 737 MAX plane in January. Marketplace's Henry Epp has more.
Three leaders of Boeing are headed for the exits: CEO Dave Calhoun, board chair Larry Kellner, and the head of its commercial airplanes division, Stan Deal. The company is in the midst of a safety scandal and years of multi-billion dollar financial losses after the January door plug incident and two fatal crashes of its 737 MAX planes several years ago. That's damaged the company's reputation and its market share, as rival Airbus has won more orders for commercial jets. And the company is starting negotiations with its largest labor union, which plans to seek a seat on Boeing's board and a 40% pay raise. The current contract expires in September, and the union could authorize a strike in July. I'm Henry Epp for Marketplace.
The European Union's antitrust regulator has just announced a major investigation into Apple, Google, and Meta for potential breaches of the EU's Digital Markets Act. The BBC's Leanna Byrne has more.
The European Union has a new law designed to tackle the dominance of tech giants. Violations could result in fines of as much as 10% of the company's global annual turnover. At a press conference this morning, the EU's antitrust enforcer, Margareta Vestager, says she believes Apple and Alphabet, which owns Google, are making it difficult for apps to tell users about ways to pay less for their services outside of using App Store's own payment methods. It's also looking into whether Meta has breached its rules by asking people to pay to avoid their data being used for adverts. It comes 3 weeks after the EU fined Apple nearly $2 billion for breaking competition laws over music streaming. I'm the BBC's Leanna Byrne for Marketplace.
We get the latest data on new home sales later this morning, in just a few minutes, actually. New homes, meaning brand new. They were just built or are being built, not existing homes. Over the past couple of years, it's the new homes that have become a much bigger part of the market, as Marketplace's Samantha Fields explains.
More people are buying new homes these days, partly because there are more of them available to buy. Allie Wolf at the housing data and consultancy firm Zonda says historically, about 15% of homes up for sale would be new builds.
Where we are today is new homes represent 30% of overall inventory. So builders right now are gaining market share.
Because they have homes they're ready and willing to sell, unlike many existing homeowners who don't want to give up their low mortgage rates. And Wolf says because many builders these days are also able to offer buyers much lower mortgage rates than they'd be able to get for an existing home.
So another reason that the new home market is doing well is because consumers can actually save hundreds of dollars a month
by buying from a builder. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Now to Haiti, where that country's ongoing crisis continues. The country's acting leader, Ariel Henry, has announced he will step down following the appointment of an interim prime minister. This is after years of canceled elections. Armed gangs have ransacked the country's capital, Port-au-Prince. An estimated 17,000 people are now homeless. 1.4 million are on the brink of famine. 4 million face severe food insecurity. Flights have been evacuating U.S. citizens. Haiti has a long history of political and economic crisis, and our next guest draws a through line between Haiti's founding and its crisis today. Malik Getchem is a professor of history at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Professor, welcome.
Great to be with you.
Things are pretty bad in Haiti, unfortunately not for the first time, but is there something about this current crisis that you feel sets it apart from others?
I think this is the first time since 1986 where Haiti is at a real turning point in terms of its political development. The state is almost quite literally breaking down and disappearing before our eyes. Currently, no elected officials at all in office. The police are on the retreat. There is no military for all practical purposes. Haiti is now facing the prospect of living without any traces of a recognizable state for the first time in a long time.
Do you view this as a primarily political crisis in origin, or is it economic as well?
I think it's both, and above all, it's historical. It's a crisis that goes way back to Haiti's colonial period, and I would point in particular to the early 18th century. It's both a crisis of security and a monetary slash financial crisis. What happened in the early 18th century was really the sort of the first organized gangs in the form of fugitive slave patrols who were designed to terrorize the people of Haiti in the name of controlling their labor. It was a kind of publicly funded private gang system. And it was the first of these sort of these gang systems that have lorded over Haitians at different periods of the nation's history.
We hear a lot today about these so-called gangs that are inflicting chaos in and around Port-au-Prince. Do you draw a line from these colonial gang entities to the current ones?
It's not a direct line, but there is certainly a connection. There is certainly a long-term crisis in terms of how foreign powers have allowed different forces within and outside Haiti to essentially govern the Haitian people in a way that denies them sovereignty. So what happened during the colonial slave period is that France imposed a kind of fugitive slave patrol over the Haitian people after their independence. France continued to try to control the fate of Haiti in the form of a massive financial indemnity that was imposed in 1825 that today would amount to about $21 billion in current monetary terms. And in order to pay off that massive debt, Haiti essentially outsourced its financial sovereignty to the French. A Haitian bank was created in 1880 that was owned by a French bank and was designed to essentially funnel payments back to France in repayment of this indemnity, which was imposed as a condition of France recognizing the independence of Haiti after its revolution. And that is an extraordinary and I think unique situation in terms of decolonization. One of the consequences of that experience was that the United States occupied Haiti in 1914-1915 for 20 years, in part at the behest of American banks and companies who were concerned about how to ensure continued flow of money from Haiti to the United States. So there is a direct connection between this slave experience that I was talking about earlier and the crisis of monetary sovereignty and security that we see unfolding even today in the country.
Malik Getchem is a professor of history at MIT. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.